You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 15 October, UK unemployment rate later today, expected unchanged at 4.1%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Carmen Mepawani, we've suddenly got a listed motor vehicle sector. After years of just one play, we've suddenly got four. And I don't know, I think that's kind of a little bit exciting. Vikas Slaughterhand from Calgary M3, results revenue down, but HEPS growing. We look into what happened there. Evan Robbins from Old Mutual Investment Group. The local REIT sector ran hard, still needs more good news to reclaim those historic highs. Those highs, of course, from what, late 2017. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Gauteng aims to use RAF Road Accident Fund medical expense claims to pay e-toll debt. Says this is but one example of several elements of province's revenue enhancement strategy. Nothing about that makes sense. Business Day, Hasari plans to sell out the Springboks. They have learned confidential investment structure and business plan overview document. Morning markets, US was green, S&P and NASDAQ up 0.8%. Over in the East, it's mixed. We've got Sydney up 0.4%, Tokyo up 1.6%, Hong Kong down 1.5%, and Tencent off 2.7%. Commodities mostly red. We've got gold, 2,660. 63, Brent 7506, platinum is green at 999, palladium 1023, rand is 1758, bitcoin 65,600, and top 40 opening call a red open, but 60 points or 0.07% down.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Kenny and I with Carmen Mepawani, independent analyst. Carmen, appreciate the early morning time. I mentioned there in the intro, I was digging around, and it suddenly occurred to me that we've got a motor vehicle sector on our JSE. It used to just be CMH, and then of course there was vehicles buried within Imperial. There still is within Supergroup. Of course, there was also with Transaction Capital. But suddenly motors, Zeda, CMH, We Buy Cars. It's a nice little niche sector for potential investors.
No, definitely a surprising, as you said, offshoot. But we must also not forget that, as you've mentioned, these have come either through a spin out, or there has been a rebranding change, as you've mentioned as well. Mm-hmm. So not without its challenges, but definitely has yielded a little, as you said, a little niche in terms of specifically looking at motor vehicles.
They're retail, they're consumer facing, but they're, I would imagine, perhaps a little more late stage. I mean, these are big ticket items. You know, we get a 0.25% interest rate drop. I might go buy a new shirt from one of the clothing retailers. I'm not necessarily going to go and buy a big ticket motor vehicle.
No, definitely not. And we've seen that in the nuances. Number one, pricing that's been increasing at a phenomenal rate over the last few years, specifically mm-hmm. for new vehicles. So we've seen a shift towards the more pre-owned, an interest more in the pre-owned, which I think a lot of these companies, as you've mentioned, definitely are leaning on. So looking for that conservative, can you say conservative consumer? I think all consumers are conservative at this point. So definitely leaning into that, trying to find pricing that is attractive to them, but then also having all the add-ons in terms of providing finance, providing services, etc. for those vehicles. But definitely an uphill battle. You're asking the numbers taking a lot of pressure. And then I suppose not so much in South Africa yet, but globally we are also seeing the impact of electric vehicles as well and the demand for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And locally, I take your point around cars have got expensive. The secondhand and of course the Chinese vehicles are coming in a big way. There's also a nuance in that they're all sort of retail cars, but there's rental into some of it. CMH most notably, Zeda to a very large degree. We buy cars, not at all, in Motors a little bit, which I suppose gives us some leisure space exposure at the same time in the sector.
Yeah, it's probably off on the back of the coming out of COVID. You know, we saw a lot of the business travel, leisure travel, and tourism, etc., pull back. And as it's slowly been coming back, you've also seen, as you've said, leaning into this the leasing or the rental side. I mean, I don't know when last you've flown and tried to get a decent car. It's actually virtually impossible because the demand is so high. Obviously, seasonality, but there definitely seems to be a much improvement in demand for car rentals as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. I used to fly a lot pre-pandemic. I could rent a car for less than the cost of an Uber trip. Those days are well gone. We'll leave it there. That's Carmen Mepo, an independent analyst. Appreciate the early morning insights. Give you money, smoother returns with STANLIB Asset Management. The STANLIB Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Vikas Lauterhorn, CEO of Colgrow M3. Disclaimer up front, I hold shares in Colgrow. 6 months results ending August, revenue 26.4, HEPS up 28.5, 869 units sold versus 1,193 previously. Vikas, tough sale conditions, but you managed to really keep a hold of costs and actually report a higher profits in what must have been a tough 6 month trading period.
Good morning, Simon, and morning to all the listeners. It's been a tough period. Sales are definitely under pressure. It's a tough sales environment. I believe the consumer is under a lot more pressure than what some people in the market are keen to acknowledge. But we're holding up. Yes, revenue under pressure, but you have to also add back from the joint ventures that you see from 23 to 175 million. Yeah. So that's Southfield specifically. So that contribution was fairly handy. And then to your comment, gross profit margin, all-time high, development business 27% and Memorial Parks 57% combined 29%, showing that we can still generate margin. And that's mainly due to the previous land cost and infrastructure. Remember, we never revalue any of our land or infrastructure. So everything sits on balance sheet at cost. And now, because we're selling to the open market, that consumers benefiting from that historic land and infrastructure cost. And then on the unit numbers, just bear in mind that during this period, there's been no public sector housing. So it's all sold to the man on the street. And I think the main thing is that important to remember is that our average sales price is 636,000. So still encapsulating the market, the lower LSM groups. And we're actually quite excited. At the end of November, we're launching a two-bedroom unit again from 499,000 rand. And for the first time ever, a one-bedroom for 399,000 rand. That compounded by interest rate decreased forecasts should see quite a bit of growth in the next period.
You also have a fair bit under construction, just over 1,500, that majority you say completed by end of Feb. What sort of percent would you expect to have sold by end of February?
So we haven't sold 869 during the period. We actually transferred and accounted for in revenue and cash. And our cash and revenue cycle is now very closely aligned. You'll see the cash from ops is slightly lower because of the infrastructure spend. So some of that 1,539, actually a fairly big part of it have already been sold. So we expected to complete it and sell it. On a specific percentage, I hate to comment because I think it results.
No, fair point. And to your point, it has been very, very tough out there. Are you seeing, I mean, we're less than a month since the rate cut, 6 weeks from your period end. Has there been any noticeable uptick in interest or is it just too early to tell?
Look, my next statement is most probably fairly controversial. We don't believe that 25 basis points made any difference.
Yeah.
On a 600,000 rand end user home loan bond, that makes 230 rand a month different. That's too little to impact sales. Once you start getting to 100 basis points compounded over time, that's close to 1,000 rand, and we believe that will start impacting that. And that joined with our new units we're launching at lower sales prices, we believe will be a catalyst to really capitalize on the market. But we do expect another 25 basis points later this year as a minimum. We hope, of course, for 50. But I suppose it's your heart and then it's your brain. So my brain tells me it will only be 25 basis points. But we also believe that we should see another at least 50 basis points, even up to 100, but at least 50 basis points next year. So between all these rate cuts in the foreseeable future, we believe we'll get to that 100 basis points. And so that then grouped with a lower sales point, targeting a lower LSM market. And we've done a lot of research on this over the years. For many years, all of us as affordable housing developers have been telling the market how big we think this market is. Mm. But then none of us sold to this market. And then you have to stand back and say, okay, but are you just, where do these numbers come from? And that's when we realized that maybe we're just all behind the market and we have to really push. And that's all over the lot. Actually, this set of results, like the first previous three, because I think it's our fourth set of results, which is actually in Rand terms the highest profit ever, consecutively. Everything coming together over the years of better town planning, more sector, while not leaving the lifestyle, the recreational areas, the sport fields, the clubhouse out of contention, as well as less construction area for sellable area, is all coming together.
You mentioned the bank and fault and the results. That, of course, happened post-period and is still very early days. That's going to be a giant venture. When will you start bulk infrastructure on that site?
It's the first time ever that we actually applied for all the environmental approvals as well as all the town planning approvals up front. So we have all our approvals to proceed to 50,000 units. We say in excess of 20,000 because, you know, these major projects, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. Fleurhof started at 6,000 and is today nearly 17,000 units. But yeah, we say let's start with a focus on 20,000. We are awaiting the final engineering design approvals, and we're able to break ground in the first quarter, if not January, February next year already. So very early in actual 2025.
And then timelines, you start with the bulk infrastructure, of course. You've got to get everything in. When would you look to start the first unit construction?
So the first unit sells from August, September next year.
Oh, as quick as that.
Construction January 2026. Hopefully to hand over the first units before February 2027 within the 2027 financial year. So, yeah, basically from start to the first revenue, cash generation, I think that's what the listeners are more after these days. Revenue is one thing, but cash is king. So within 24 to 26 now post commencement.
Last question, Memorial Parks continues to tick along nicely. You're looking to expand. You talk around cash generation. It's doing great in that regard as well.
Look, Memorial Parks is now, we always said the first goal is to meet the group administrative expense cash flow. It's met it. So I think that was the first target. It grew net cash from operations from 34 to 52 million. So that was a significant achievement. And it also just show you how that business, we always said that business is there for risk mitigators, for the lumpy and cyclical development business. How that risk mitigator is starting to work when the tough economic cycle, it continued to grow, even though the consumer is under pressure because it's such a cultural product. And then secondly, generate the cash to almost, I won't say bulletproof is a strong word, but to make the development business more resilient in the next, even if it's in 5-6 years time from now, downward cycle, that business doesn't have to generate its own cash flow administrative expenses. It can be carried through downward cycles.
We'll leave it there. It's Fikus Lotekhan, CEO, Calgary M3. Appreciate the time. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Evan Robbins. You find him, of course, at the Old Mutual Investment Group. Evan, good to chat again. Talking REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts, you make the point in a note you put out. Short term, the sector very bond-like due to values being influenced by the bond yield. But the longer term horizon, it's going to be around those earnings and the earnings growth that we can see coming out of these listed REITs.
Yes, I think the sector has re-rated. Basically, all the COVID damage in terms of the rating has gone. We're back to where we were mid-2010s, you can say, before things got too exuberant. So now we're back to a sort of an outlook of some growth from the REITs. But to really get more growth from here, we need the earnings to grow more than just inflation. We need some of the opportunities to start coming forward.
I take your point on earnings and some of the drivers. I mean, that's good old fashioned rates coming down a little bit more, perhaps more than expected, and of course, better than expected GDP growth. I mean, just good old fashioned economics 101 to really help boost those earnings.
Yes, I think property hopefully is back to good old fashioned property, giving you inflation like growth, with some yield, but that's sort of priced in historically for now. So to really get the extra oomph above this, if we get that, we're going to need the drivers just to push the sector forward. Otherwise, I think it's done quite a lot of work already.
And the big one, of course, is vacancies, and that's very much dependent around, you know, where that they're operating. Office remains under pressure, retail okay, logistics mostly better. But again, it's that economic growth and bringing those vacancy rates down where there's still capacity to push earnings. Otherwise, you've just got empty spaces earning nothing.
Yes, I mean, the office vacancies have actually been coming down for the last 9 quarters, which mm-hmm. is nice to see. They're still above where they were before. But there certainly is opportunity. If we have growth and once those offices start filling, then that's money for nothing because that drops straight to the bottom line. We don't have that, as you mentioned, in other sectors. But really, once things really start recovering, you want to see rent growth. You want to see rents growing above inflation and some pricing power. We're not there yet. At the moment, rents are rebased, so you can grow, say, with inflation from those, but you really want to see some pricing power return. We're not there yet, but if you want to play into positive scenario, hopefully we can get back there sometime in the medium to long term.
You mentioned, I mean, office certainly vacancies been improving. What, 9 quarters? That's a little over 2 years. Are rent reversions turning positive in the office space yet, or are we still seeing negative reversions?
We still see negative reversions, but if you look at the rental numbers, we are start seeing sort of a year-on-year rental growth on some measures finally picking up into positive territory. Mm-hmm. So certainly the deterioration seems to hopefully be over. It doesn't mean that things aren't tough and you don't have negative reversions from where we were before, but year on year, we're certainly seeing some positive readings I've seen for the first time in some time.
And one of the key points, and I remember at the sort of peaks in what, the 2016, 2017, 2018, prices were fairly well above net asset values. What we're sitting now is that current values on commercial portfolios typically below cost of new builds, which is a positive sign for the industry as well.
Yes, I think that's where the positive news comes one day. Eventually, if we have growth, eventually new stock is going to have to determine the price of existing stock because you can either rent an existing stock or build something new, and that's where the rental tension comes in, when rents are pushed up to that because they don't have an alternative. We fall from that at the moment, mm-hmm. but that's how property cycles work. If we do have steady growth and we start absorbing those vacancies, we should get to that because we're sitting with rentals amongst the lowest in the world in some areas. Oh, wow. So it's really not a very high base we're starting from. It's not an unfair base given where we are at the moment, but it's not a high base, which means if things improve, we can certainly a rental base which we can grow on.
You also made the point in your note that, and you know, if you're a property fund, well then you've got REITs in it. But the more generalist type of funds are in many cases underweight and perhaps been caught a little bit flat footed by the surge we've seen in listed REITs over the last year, and that could help with some uplift as they sort of try and get back to weight.
Yes, there certainly seems to be a dynamic recently with lots of balanced funds, for example, who are underweight, caught by the interest rate reduction as well, trying to make up for the underweight position and buying quite aggressively. That certainly helped the surge in the market we've seen at the moment, which is why I think things are re-rated and why we sort of returned back to where the rating we had before. So a lot of the damage in terms of those ratings have been done, helped by the buying we've seen from some of the generalist funds, who really, you know, property was a very unloved sector. Mm-hmm. It's still not a love sector, but the unloved part of it, I think, it has dissipated certainly to some extent if you see the amount of buying.
And my senses from looking out, from chatting to you now, reading the report, I mean, we're moving in the right direction, I suppose. I mean, when we get back to the sort of highs of 2017, 2018, that's got some issues, as I said, GDP, interest rates and others. But the sector is looking healthy, and the run we've seen over the last year is supported by those fundamentals.
Yes, I would say healthier. Things still are tough. I mean, things aren't easy on the ground, but certainly an improvement and things picking up and stabilization and seeing positive numbers and seeing actually real growth, or at least with inflation growth from the sector, certainly in terms of the South African net rental income, is certainly a very positive sign and a change. I think the market is responding to from a deterioration to some improvement and some normal growth returning, and that's very positive.
We leave it there. Evan Robbins, Old Mutual Investment Group, where he is the Old Mutual Property Fund Manager. Appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. As we said, properties had a really, really good 12 months. The question is, how long before we get some more highs? And those highs are pre-pandemic. They weren't even just then, sort of early. They were 2017, 2018. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. We're chatting with Grant Alexander from Private Client Holdings yesterday, talking around wealth creation, wealth preservation, the distinction between it. We asked you what stage you're at. Over 80% still creating, the rest are preserving. There's an implication that you are in retirement if you are preserving. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Norbuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Household Resilience Index.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.